Dear friends, it's our last class in this year, approaching Rosh Hashanah. Courtesy of TorahAnytime.com, this class has been video recorded. This class is going to be quite unusual. We usually talk about a weekly portion of the Torah, but as some of you probably know, we don't really have the regular Torah portion. As this Shabbos is going to be Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be having a special Rosh Hashanah reading. And Rosh Hashanah, the new year, we all know it's a day of judgment. We all know many things about Rosh Hashanah. Apple and honey, right? Some people only come to the shul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so Rosh Hashanah is like a big day for many people, even though we're not connected during the course of the year. But I want to share with you something about the most important mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. I hope you're going to gain some insights into what this mitzvah is about. What mitzvah are we talking about? Shofar. Blowing the shofar, right? Now, if you take a look in the Torah, where it speaks about Rosh Hashanah, celebrating Rosh Hashanah, open your Chumash on page 686, it says, Hashem spoke to Moses, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, there shall be a rest day for you, a remembrance with shofar blasts. First thing probably you noticed, it doesn't say anywhere it's Rosh Hashanah, it's the beginning of the year. It says seventh month, not even the first month, right? Take a note of that. Then it says, it's going to be a rest day, it's going to be the holiday for you. How is this holiday defined by the Torah? It's called Zichron Truah. Zichron Truah means remembrance of Truah. It's translated here as remembrance of the blowing, but honestly, it doesn't mention the shofar. It doesn't mention the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah, right? It says the seventh month. It doesn't mention the shofar. So what it does, it only tells us that some kind of a Zichron Truah, some kind of a remembrance of something called Truah. So how do we know that Truah really is referring to blowing of the shofar? It could be potentially blowing some trumpets, right?
What is Truah?
Truah, we don't even know exactly what the word means, exactly. That's the question. That's my question to you. What is Truah? You're right. What is Truah? Okay. So to know that, we need to take a look at some other places in the Torah where it mentions Truah. That's the only possible way for us to know what this is about, right? And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to open chapter 25 in the same book, in the book Vayikra, chapter 25, Posuk 9. Let's do that and see. It's on page 698. In English it's 699, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see what it says there. If you take a look at the previous page, 697, that's where the passage starts, speaks about Yovel. Now, Yovel is the Jubilee. It's the 50th year. We have a cycle of 7 times 7, 49, and then the 50th year. Right? Every 7th year is called Shemitah, right? Which is similar to Shabbat. It's Shabbat of the land. And then we have Shabbat Shabbaton, like Yom Kippur. Similar to Yom Kippur, we have the big day is Yom Kippur. The big year in that course, and the 50th year course, is Yovel, the Jubilee year, when something happens very interesting and very unusual. You shall count, Torah tells us, 25, chapter 25, Posuk 8. For yourself, 7 cycles of sabbatical years, 7 times 7 you count. And then, this is 49 years, next Posuk 9, you shall sound a broken blast on the shofar. So here we see the shofar has been mentioned. On the 10th of the month. So this is, by the way, the custom that we have today. I don't know if you remember that. On Yom Kippur, at the very end of Yom Kippur, what we do is we hear that sound of the shofar. Right? That's to commemorate what it says here in the Torah. It used to be done, not every Yom Kippur, it used to be done once a 50-year Yom Kippur, when it would be the end of the cycle, of the sabbatical cycle, right, of 50 years. There would be time of a freedom. All the slaves would be set free. And you proclaim that freedom on the land, right? On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound a shofar throughout your land. And you see the next passage, you shall sanctify the 50th year and proclaim freedom throughout the land. By the way, these words are written, anybody knows where? Proclaim the freedom on the land. It's a liberty bell. Right on the liberty bell, right? Philadelphia. Over there it's mentioned. Proclaim freedom throughout the land for all its inhabitants. That's the Jubilee. Each man returns to his ancestral heritage, to his family. It's a beautiful idea of freedom. So we see here shofar. And trua, he mentions the word trua as well. So here we know that trua is referring, it says trua. If you take a look in Hebrew, those of you who can read Hebrew, Pasuk 9, when it speaks about the blowing of the shofar, va'avarta shofar trua. It says shofar trua. It's blowing of the shofar. So here we know that's the source. That's where the Torah speaks about the fact that trua is referring to shofar. That's the source. From here we know that trua really means blowing the shofar. Okay, that's been established. It's all beautiful. We understand the meaning of this shofar blowing on Yom Kippur, which we do only as a custom. We do it every year. Not once in 50 years, but every year. But the question will be, of course, what this has to do with Rosh Hashanah. Torah does tell us that Rosh Hashanah is the day of commemorating Zichron Trua, of the blowing. And now we know it's blowing of the shofar. But how is it connected with the idea of the Day of Judgment? And if anything, so far we only saw it's referring to Yom Kippur. Now where else in the Torah we see shofar being blown? Sinai, of course. And over there, in the book of Shmot, let's turn to the second book of the Torah. We see how it speaks about the shofar blowing over there. When Torah speaks about a great event, a revelation that happened at Sinai, now we turn into the second book, Shmot, and chapter 19, Pasuk 13. Chapter 19. Just 1 second. This is going to be on page... Pasuk 15 is on page 405. So we're approaching the great moment.
Oh, yes. Rabbi.
We're approaching a great moment of Jewish history, the moment of revelation at Sinai. We're on page 405. There's a preparation process, right? 3 days. 3 days before the actual Torah giving. They are called the days of the preparation. And where, that's the place where we're holding right now. That's Pasuk 16. We start our reading on the third day. When it was morning, there was thunder and lightning and a heavy cloud on the mountain. After the 3 day preparation, we see all the splendor which surrounded the revelation at Sinai, thunder and lightning and a heavy cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the shofar was very powerful. Of course we remember that picture. Chazak meod, very powerful sound of the shofar. In fact, that's the very culmination, right? And what happens then? The entire people that was in the camp shuddered. It's very scary. The presence of God, that revelation that happened, was absolutely unique in human history. Nothing like that ever happened. All the Jews were present there, men, women, children. And the sound of the shofar here certainly is in the center. That represents that revelation itself, right? So, take a look at Pasuk 13, when it speaks about those days, 3 days, when they are told not to approach the mountain. 3 days before the event, Jews are not supposed to approach the mountain. Pasuk 12, you shall set boundaries for the people round about, saying, beware of ascending a mountain or touching its edge. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely die, because from this time on, this is God's domain. You're not supposed to touch. You're not supposed to approach it too closely. You know, the divinity, Hashem, sets certain boundaries and certain limits. human being can approach God only as much as he, you know, within the boundaries of our body, within the parameters of who human being is, there's certain limitations, right? And we're going to see certain levels here. Moshe comes the closest. Apparently, he apparently is called afterwards for the 40 days to ascend the mountain. But other Jews are supposed to stay away, right? For 3 days, no one can approach the mountain. And Pasuk 13, hand shall not touch it. You shall surely be stoned or thrown down. Whether animal or person shall not live. Upon an extended blast of the shofar, they may ascend the mountain. So here we have another time shofar has been mentioned. And that's going to signify the end of the revelation, right? So we have two shofar blasts here. One shofar blast is here to signify the event itself, right? And the second one mentioned here in Pasuk 13. Here it speaks about the end of the revelation, to allow them to ascend the mountain again. And this second time, if you take a look at Hebrew, it doesn't say here, Truah, it doesn't say shofar, it says yovel. Bimshocha yovel. So again, we see this connection with yovel. Shofar is called yovel as well, right? So we see three times where Torah speaks about a blowing of the shofar. The first, we opened the story of Rosh Hashanah, we saw over there only speaks about Truah. We asked the question, what Truah really is? How do we know what Truah is? As Rosh Hashanah is called commemorating the Truah. We took a look at the story of Yovel, of the Jubilee year. There it says that it's called blowing the shofar, Truat Shofar. Right? That's blowing the shofar. Now, when Torah speaks about a revelation happened at Sinai, here we see the shofar has been mentioned. And that's the very center of the revelation. And then Yovel, which is the Jubilee, right? Which is another way of calling the shofar, the blowing, will signify, that blow will signify, that very long blow will signify the fact that revelation is ended and now they can ascend the mountain again. So the question is, ladies and gentlemen, so far we saw shofar has been mentioned referring to Yom Kippur, right? That's the Jubilee year and that's what we do on every Yom Kippur. We blow the shofar once. We saw shofar been mentioned at the very center of the event that happened at Sinai, revelation of the Torah at Sinai. And that's certainly nothing to Rosh Hashanah. If already we should have blown shofar on Shavuos, which is the day of revelation at Sinai, right? That's the holiday of the Torah giving. Why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Torah only tells us, do that, right? Doesn't even mention shofar, only says Truah. We need to look elsewhere to find what Truah really is. And Torah uses another word. Torah says, not just Yom Truah, Yom Zichron Truah, the day of the commemoration. We are, with that blowing, we are to commemorate something. We are to remember something. What are we to commemorate? What are we to remember? And why do we do that on Rosh Hashanah? These are the questions that we have at this point. And of course we understand, if that's the only thing that Torah tells us about Rosh Hashanah, right? That's how you celebrate the day without even mentioning the fact it's the day of judgment. Torah calls this day the seventh month, right? The first day of the seventh month. We count in months, as you know. We have two calendars, right? We start the count of the years from Rosh Hashanah, but the count of the months we start from Chodesh Nisan in spring, right? The only thing the Torah really tells us is it's a commemoration of Truah. What do we commemorate and what this Truah is about? We're still very unclear about this. So to understand that, we really need to look at those sheets that I gave you. From our oral tradition, we know much more. In fact, this idea that man was created on Rosh Hashanah is coming from the Mishnah. It's part of our oral tradition. It's not mentioned anywhere in the Torah, right? But it's part of our oral tradition that man was created on Rosh Hashanah. And there's a very beautiful midrash, which is midrash on Vayikra, on the third book of the Torah. Take a look at source number one. It was taught in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. The world was created on the 25th of Elul. The view of Rav agrees with the teaching of Rabbi Eliezer. If you come from the 25th of Elul to Rosh Hashanah, these are the 6 days, right? And then man was created on the sixth day, which is Rosh Hashanah. So Rav is saying, for we have learned in the blessing for the shofar composed by Rav. And that's what we read. We're going to read that as part of our davening on Rosh Hashanah. And here the quotation follows. That's what we say in Rosh Hashanah during davening. This day, on which was the beginning of work, a memorial of the first day. A memorial, commemoration, right? Zicharon, the same word. Zicharon liyom rishon. Take a note of that. Memorial of the first day. For it's a statute for Israel, a decree of God of Yaakov. On its sentence is pronounced upon countries. Which of them is destined to the sword and which to peace? Which to famine and which to plenty? Each individual creature is visited on that day and recorded for life or for death. So in other words, it's the day of judgment, not only for an individual, not only for the Jewish people, but for the whole world. Thus we learn, Medrash continues, that on Rosh Hashanah, in the first hour, the idea of creating man entered his mind. In the second, he took counsel with the ministry angels. In the third, he assembled Adam's dust. In the fourth, he kneaded it. In the fifth, he shaped him, so on and so forth. So we see the whole story of man, including his sin with the fruit, and including him being expelled from the garden, him being judged by God, and him being pardoned. It all happened on the same day. And that is the day of Rosh Hashanah. You see, in the 10th he transgressed, in the 11th he was judged, in the 12th he was pardoned. The Holy One, blessed be He, said to Adam, this will be a sign to your children. As you stood in judgment before me this day and came out with a free pardon, so will your children in the future stand in judgment before me on this day and will come out from my presence with a free pardon. So we understand all the glory and the magnificence of that day, the magnitude of Rosh Hashanah. It connects us straight to the very beginning. It connects us straight to the origin of man. It connects us straight to the very beginning of creation, right? The first man was created on that day. Not only was he created, the very same day he was judged and he was pardoned. So it has the idea of a beginning, of course, opening a new page, and it also has an idea of giving us a second chance, right? Because he was pardoned that day. That's the conclusion of the Midrash. But take a note of what I mentioned before. You see, Rosh Hashanah is called in the Torah commemoration of the blowing, right? Commemoration of Truah. Here we mentioned in this Midrash that this day is a commemoration of what? Zicharon leYom Rishon, commemoration of the first day. Rosh Hashanah is a commemoration of the first day, meaning the very first day of the very first man. So here says, Rav Yonason Avshitz is the connection, right? We're still missing one very important link. We need to understand how man was created. And for that, we're obviously going to look up in source number 2. And that we all know, that's from the book of Bereshit. The very beginning, how man was created. The Almighty God formed man of the dust of the ground. And then it says in Hebrew, V'napach be'apav nishmat chaim, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became nefesh chaya, a living soul. So you see two things over here, right? He was a dust, and then he was transformed from dust into a living soul. Now that happened as a result of what? Of breathing into him, God directly, so to speak, was breathing into him from himself. Of course, right? So we have that divinity in us. We have that spark of godliness in us. The breath of life. With capital L, right? And then we became who we are. We became who we are, not just dust, but the sons of God Himself, right? The sons of Hashem Himself. That's the origin of man. Says of Rav Yonason Avshitz, that's the connection with the shofar. We blow the shofar with our breath, right? Breathing in this very same breath of life, right? That's the commemoration. Like it says in the Midrash, commemoration of what? Of the first day. It's to remind us how man was created. And very interesting, we'll answer another question. Some people ask a question. Did you notice what is the blessing that we make on blowing the shofar? How do we bless? What do we say? We usually only answer Amen. We respond Amen. The one who makes the blessing is the person who's Baal Tokeh, right? The one who blows for the congregation. How does it say? No, but what's the verb that we use? What are we doing? Should have said on blowing the shofar, right? Al tkiyat shofar or al mitzvat tkiyat, whatever. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say litkoa. No. It doesn't use the word trua either. It says lishmoa kol shofar. The mitzvah for us is to listen. And even the person who blows himself, he says the mitzvah is not to blow. The mitzvah is to listen. And to listen in Hebrew means shma in the Torah. Lishmoa in the Torah is what? Shema Yisrael. Not just listen, but understand and comprehend. Right? That's what Shmiya really means. You can hear and you can listen. You can pay attention. So, Lishmoa means to understand and to comprehend. Yes?
So basically, blowing of the shofar is another way of saying Shema. It's a reminder that God is one.
Over here, you're going to see it's a little bit, it's a reminder, but of something else. It's a reminder of, like the Medrash says, source number one, Zicharon Liyom Rishon, of the first day. What is the first day? Reminder of how man was created. How was it created? Source number two, the breath of life coming directly from God. It's a reminder to us who we are. We are not the 60 kilos or whatever that in pounds, right? Of flesh and blood. Not, that's not what we are really. We are Nefesh Chaya, living soul. That's what we are. So when we hear that, when we really hear, not just with our ears, but when we comprehend, something's supposed to happen to us. And the magnitude of what's supposed to happen is equivalent to that of Ma'amad Har Sinai. Where do we see in the Torah that shofar is right in the center of the event? Sinai. And what Sinai represents? Sinai was the time, and we have another beautiful medrash to explain that, Adam was created and he sinned, right? He was created originally, as our sages tell us, Mikzeh ha'aretz v'atkatzeh, from one end of the world to the other. Of course, not meaning physically. That's his potential. That's what the man essentially is. That's what the breath of life of God does to us. That's the grandeur. That's how great we are. That's the greatness of man. But he sinned. And he failed the test. And then we have failure after failure for generations. Torah speaks about it. Finally, we reach the point when Abraham is going to start a new nation, and the role this nation is going to play will be the catalyst of the process of returning the whole world back to its source, back to God. When is it going to happen, practically speaking? We have the event in history when all the Jews are together, surrounded by the presence of God, Sinai, and what's right at the core of this event? The sound of the shofar. And when again we're going to hear the sound of the shofar? We're going to hear it in the future. Take a look at source number three. So shofar connects us to the first day, it connects us to Sinai, and it also connects us to something that's going to happen in the future. That's the Mashiach time. And it shall come to pass on that day, it's from Yeshayahu, from the prophecy of the Yeshayahu, right, one of the great prophets, that the great shofar shall be blown. Yitoka b'shofar gadol, and those shall come who are lost in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt. Right? All the exiles will return. We witness this happening nowadays, ladies and gentlemen. We live at the time the state of Israel is here. We live at the time that prophecies are starting to come true. And shall worship the Almighty on the holy mount of Yerushalayim. Today, when we say that this word Yerushalayim, it's not anymore something that belongs to the past. You can buy your tickets and you go there, and you can see the western wall of the temple. And very soon, please God, we're going to see the temple rebuilt. So in other words, where we stand with the shofar, where we stand with the Rosh Hashanah, listening and to this, performing this very important mitzvah, listening, not just to the voice of shofar of this specific year, what we really listen to, we listen to who we are. We try to understand what is that great challenge What is that great mission that we have? At Sinai, we accomplished something great on a national scale. We took upon ourselves a mission. And that's why the shofar is over there, because essentially what man is not just dust. Man is the living soul. If man is a living soul, he's connected to God. We as a nation got very close. We got connected even on a higher level. We said, God, we're going to be your messengers. That's Sinai. Shofar is blowing. In the future, the whole world will come back to its source. Shofar will blow again.
Who blew the shofar in Sinai?
Who blew the shofar in Sinai? Is this a beautiful question? Who did?
Aaron.
Who did?
Hashem.
Hashem did, of course. This was the sound of shofar. And you see the miracle that happened then. It says, V'kol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot, and all the nation see voices. Can you see voices? If Hashem blows the shofar, yes, you can see voices. If you're at Sinai, yes, all the human limitations. You can see only with your eyes, you can hear only with your ears. They are not there anymore. The human limitations are non-existent at this point. We are infinity. We are part, we are close to God. Right? We are right in His hands. We are there. That's what Sinai is. And now what's going to happen? We're going to expect this Rosh Hashanah. We're going to expect from ourselves when we perform this great mitzvah. When we hear the shofar. When we hear the shofar. What are we going to say? What are we going to think about? We're going to think about the greatness of this moment. We're going to think about the greatness of the present moment, this Rosh Hashanah, this year. Because it's an opportunity for us. Rosh Hashanah is a new page. They will open. It's the beginning. And, you know, we have opportunities in life that we certainly shouldn't miss. So this year, when we're going to hear the voice of the shofar, the sound of the shofar, let us try to remember who we essentially are, who we really are. Let us try to think of what are we going to accomplish this year. What are my specific talents? What are my strengths? How am I to become a better Jew this year? How am I to make a difference in the world? And that's my blessing to all of us sitting in this room and to all the Jews around the world. That we shall, hopefully this year shall be a year of great, great blessing for all of us. And we shall perform the mitzvah of lishmoa, of listening to the voice of shofar with all intention.